The Shikellamy Braves play on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Caught on the near side by Pollock, and he's going to go to the 10-5 touchdown, Shikellamy!
Braves football on WKOK is sponsored by MidPen Energy, Purdy Insurance, Shamokin Dam Health Center, WNL Subaru, Service First Federal Credit Union, Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck, Affordable Events by Nicole, Lackawanna College, Sunbury Motor Company, Free Fallen Grill, Northumberland National Bank, Blaze Alexander Ford, Wise Markets, Squeeze In, Blaze Alexander Buick GMC Sunbury, Pop Snyder's Lunch, Surplus Outlet, and America's Hose Company. Now, let's head to the stadium with Kevin Herr and the Chief, Dave Ritchie.
Well, they broke the champagne bottles on the new Shikellamy turf a few weeks ago, and now the track is in. And fortunately, because of some scheduling changes, fortunately, not because of the situation that caused them, but fortunately for the Braves, they are able to have another home game here at Shikellamy Stadium and not to have that one more game that was planned to be at Shamokin. And that game turns out to be the Rally in the Valley. Sealands Grove traveling to face the Shikellamy Braves here on the new turf at Shikellamy Stadium. And even though there's a whiteout at Beaver Stadium tonight, the Braves are hoping that the whiteout does not travel a little further to the east, even though Sealands Grove is in their all-white uniforms here tonight. Both teams have made a lot of concessions to make this happen on a Saturday night. Unfortunately, the weather with tropical depression Ophelia has caused a chilly night tonight, a windy night, and we are expecting some light rain as well. We will have coverage on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel in just about 30 minutes from now. But Chief, when you get ready for a Shikellamy Sealands Grove game, it was a lot different when you were roaming the halls at Shikellamy as a student and as a player.
51 years ago?
I wasn't going to say how many years.
Always had great pep assemblies. I don't even know if they do pep assemblies anymore. And of course, there was always the burning of the mascot. And it was always a great, great time on a Thursday night. The other thing that took place was, there was a lot of, I don't want to call harmless fun that went on back and forth between the two schools. But it was always a big weekend, something they always looked at. And you know, Kevin, when I played back in the late 60s, early 70s, two of the years, my junior and senior year, we beat Sealands Grove, and that was the only loss they had that year. So it wasn't like it was, everybody says, well, Sealands Grove didn't win a game from 66 to 77, but a lot of the games were very, very close. You know, and you get in that situation, they've always pretty competitive, and it's a good week. I don't think they have pep assemblies anymore, Kevin.
Well, they did have something earlier this week, I did see.
Well, you know, Slade Schreck has always gotten a bonfire, but sometimes it's for homecoming, and they also have powder puff football games, and
sometimes there's fireworks.
So that, but for Sealands Grove, that used to be the game that got the most attention. I think more attention and drew more of a crowd than any of the homecoming games ever did.
Well, you know, it's hard to believe that this is the 10th year the regular season has been called the Rally in the Valley. The Seals are 7-2 in those games. Sealands Grove got the trophy in 14-15, then Shikellamy in 16-17, and then the Seals took control in 2018 and the last 5 years as well. And, you know, this was a lopsided rivalry for a long time, but this is the 65 meetings now. This is 66. Sealands Grove has now taken the all-time series lead 37-28 over the years. And as we said, this was a huge one-sided affair for many years, with Shikellamy dominating this series.
Yeah, my first year as a teacher at Shikellamy was the first year that Sealands Grove beat Shikellamy, and it was down at Sealands Grove. And you thought your grandparents passed away in Sunbury. I mean, it was really tough because, you know, every once in a while, it was good for the Sealands Grove football community, and of course, the Braves got over it. You know, next year I think they won the next couple years in a row. Sealands Grove's always had some very good football teams, and they've had some excellent skilled people like they do this year. And I was just talking to Zach here, and I said, you know, a lot of the names that used to live in Northumberland and Sunbury now reside in Sealensboro.
It's very true.
So it was a nice community for some people to move out of. And that's another reason why this has become probably a pretty interesting game, because there's a lot of people that Sunbury that have and Norrie that have relationship in Sealensboro and vice versa. So it's always interesting for some bragging rights. Didn't they call it the Brawl for the Mall?
That was a Coach Hort. That was a Coach Hort ism there.
Why don't we say it was the Battle for Boskov? Because that's about what's down there now.
He used to deem this before it became the Rally in the Valley, the Brawl for the Mall. Because at his point was, and this was in the years of arcades, there were a lot of times that these kids would have been at the mall together, hanging out, walking around, getting some food, playing in the arcades. So that's why he deemed it the Brawl for the Mall before it became the Rally in the Valley.
Well, let's go back even further and talk about, you know, Rolling Green Amusement Park. They had dances there on Saturday nights.
Yeah.
And that was like halfway between Sealens Grove and Sunbury, Northumberland, and Shamokin Dam, Hummel's Wharf area. And there were just as many Shikellamy, Sunbury, Northumberland kids there as there were from Sealens Grove. So sometimes that really did turn into a brawl.
Well, you talk about the Sealens Grove team and some skill position players. If you remember last year, Tucker Teets was coming back from his second week back from an injury. And he ran for 188 yards and two touchdowns on 30 carries. And this young man has had already a great season with 62 carries, 590 yards, averaging a first down every time he touches the ball, and 9 touchdowns on the season. He has definitely been on the Shikellamy defensive radar this week.
One of the things that you'll find in this offense is the fact that you will see him get the ball probably 80% of the time. Most of the statistics in running for Sealens Grove will be Tucker Teets. Jared Bullington is probably the halfback fullback situation, and he probably is somebody that I would say will get the ball once in a while, but I think most of the time he's going to be blocking. I was watching Sealens Grove run some of their plays, and they do a little bit of unbalanced line, and then Tucker's the one that gets the ball, and he's tough. He's really tough.
Well, we'll talk with Coach Jim Kaiser of the Shikellamy Braves when we return. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's matchup between the Shikellamy Braves and the Sealens Grove Seals. It's the Rally in the Valley on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And coming up in just about 25 minutes on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel. Welcome back to Shikellamy. Kevin Herr with Coach Jim Kaiser of the Shikellamy Braves, getting ready for tonight's matchup with the Sealens Grove Seals in a Saturday night game. And again, you know, with everything shifting with Monday, talk about your practice schedule and how you've had to adapt it this week.
Well, it's been a little difficult with moving things back, but, you know, there was no off day for the kids, and I feel bad about that. You know, you play Monday night, and then you go right into a practice session. Now, we went light on Monday to take care of that and did a light lift to try and get the kids back, but they're still missing 2 days of recovery. So, you know, we tried to make it a little less physical, but, you know, we had to get some things in, and it was a good week.
Well, and it's a tough matchup, a rivalry game. Give the thought process of, or where the minds of the kids right now after that game in Jersey Shore. Where are they at?
Well, they're focused. They want to make up for what happened on Monday night. They know they didn't play their best game, and 4 turnovers early in the game, and that pretty much sealed the deal. And they know if we come out like that tonight, we're going to get the same thing. So I think we're a little bit more focused, and I think we'll play a little bit better.
On the offensive side of the ball, there wasn't a whole lot of time there for Brody at quarterback through the 4 picks, and a lot of that was because of the pressure. And then in the second half, later in the first half, you started to bring back a couple extra guys for protection.
Yeah.
Did that kind of move the needle a little bit for you?
Well, it did. And the fact of the matter is, too, we were playing 3 freshmen on the offensive line. Nick Bradigan came out of the game pretty early, and we had 3 freshmen in there. Well, we did the prior week, too. So, I mean, we're going to have some growing pains. There's no doubt about it. We had two freshman corners playing. We had a freshman in the secondary playing. playing all played pretty well. You know, I don't want to, but, you know, they're young and they're learning, and you play against a state-ranked team like that, it makes it pretty tough.
Well, and you're going to have a test here with another solid running game with Tucker Teets in the backfield. It has been a situation where Selins Grove has kind of played on the run. Can you sell out on it?
Well, if you do that, they're going to beat you with the pass because they've got a heck of a quarterback and a heck of a receiver. I shouldn't say receiver. They have a good group of receivers. So, yeah, you can't just sell out on the run because if you do that, they're going to beat you with their arm. And, you know, you just got to play disciplined defense and hope that you can make some plays.
You know, there are small things in the game, though, that make a big difference, and special teams are the big part of it. And there were a lot of kickoffs in the last game, and I know they were very aware of the speed in the back, and I know you moved up Luke a little bit into the middle. He had some good returns. How key is it to get that ball past the 20, 25 even yard line to try and get some room for the offense?
Well, especially against a good team like Selins Grove and a good team like Jersey Shore, you've got to get the best field position you can get. Thomas and Luke have done a good job of getting us there, but I have a feeling tonight we're not going to see the ball too much. That young man puts it in the end zone pretty easy, and I think you'll see that.
Coach, appreciate the time. We'll chat with you afterwards.
Thanks, Kev.
You're listening to Braves Football on News Radio 1070 WKOK, coming up at 7 on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel. Welcome back to Shikellamy Stadium as we get ready for the Rally in the Valley. Year number, I believe, 11 is what we were talking about earlier. And, Chief, you were saying that during the break that, you know, we started off Monday in a somber note with Max Angle and the football game at Jersey Shore, but it was a rough week in Shikellamy as well for the loss of some family.
They're going to the national anthem now, Kev, so sorry about that. All right.
Well, if you want to go ahead while we're walking out, we can.
Well, Kevin, the first Shikellamy class of 1966, which was the 65 season, which went 11-0 and won the Eastern Conference that year, two of the players on that team, Darvin Straub and Chris Neff, passed away this past week. So our condolences go out to their families. And then Bob Bolton, who was the district magistrate, played offensive guard from like 67 to 70. He too passed away. So again, condolences out to those families. A couple of former Shikellamy Braves, you know, passing away.
We'll take a timeout. When we return, we'll have the opening kick. It's Shikellamy Selins Grove from Shikellamy Stadium on News Radio 1070 WKOK, and coming up shortly on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel. Lineups for the visiting Selins Grove Seals coming in at 3-0-1 on the season. The quarterback will be Mark Pastore. He's a 6'1", 75 senior, 34 completions on 79 attempts, 2 interceptions, 4 touchdowns, 482 yards in the air. We mentioned Tucker Teets earlier, 5'10", 194 senior. Teets coming in the game averaging 10 yards a carry, 9 touchdowns. He also has an average of 21 yards a carry, a catch on his 5 catches for 107 yards. Jared Bullington will be the fullback, the 5'11", 190 junior. Took 20 carries for 89 yards and a touchdown. Gavin Bastion will be the wide receiver, a 6'1", 200-pound junior, averaging 14 yards a catch and 2 touchdowns on the year. It is Ryan Gavison, also a receiver, the 5'9", 167 senior. Caleb Hicks with a couple of touchdowns this year for the 6'1", 185 senior, averaging 12 yards a catch. The tight end will be Andrew Sassaman, 5'10", 172 senior, with 7 catches for 90 yards on the year in receiving. For the defense, the Seals will go with Camden Smith at defensive tackle, the 6'2", 250 senior. Tegan Minier is the nose tackle. He is a 5'10", 167 junior. Aiden Lewis, the defensive tackle, is 6'1", 215 senior. Chucker Cheats will be the linebacker. Andrew Sasson will be the outside linebacker. Luke Smith, the other linebacker, a 5'9", 182 senior, along with Ethan Miller, has 32 tackles on the year with a 5'10", 175 junior. Caleb Hicks has a pick from his cornerback position. Wyatt Teets will also play some cornerback, the 5'10", 151 junior. By the way, across the front for Sealands Grove, it'll be Jack Peters at left tackle, Colin Melhorn at left guard, Camden Smith at center, Tegan Minier at right guard, and Aiden Lewis at right tackle. For the Braves, offensively coming in at 1-3 on the season, it'll be Brody Raybuck. He is 41 of 78 on the year, 6 interceptions, 5 touchdowns for the 6'190 sophomore. The running backs will be Luke Snyder, 5'10", 208 senior. Snyder averaging 5 yards a carry, 291 yards on the ground this year, 4 touchdowns in 200-yard games. Thomas Pollock will be the H-back, the 5'8", 129 freshman, averaging 16 yards a carry on his 3 carries, but he also has 15 grabs for 329 yards, a long of 78, and 3 touchdowns, and an outstanding run on every one of those touchdowns on the, what they call yards after catch, or yak. Asher Moyer, a 6'1", 203 junior, will be the Y receiver. Connor Fassbinder is the X, a 6'2", 174 junior. Across the front, it'll be Jacob Brzezinski at left tackle, Noah Johnson at left guard, Nate Brannigan at center, Preston Sponsorelli at right tackle, and John Rosinski at right tackle. Connor Steese will do the kicking. Defensively for the Shikellamy Braves, it'll be Baisir Baez, the nose guard, a 5'5", 186 freshman, along with Tommy Treon, the defensive tackle, a 5'8", 152 freshman. John Rosinski will be the defensive tackle. Luke Keeley, the outside linebacker, a 5'10", 181 sophomore, along with A.J. Benedict, a 5'10", 179 junior. Noah Johnson, a 5'10", 186 freshman, and Preston Spontarelli playing linebacker this week. He has 2 sacks on the year from his down lineman position for the 5'11", 238 senior. Keen Lattimore will be the corner, a 5'9", 151 freshman. Owen Elliott, a 5'11", 158 junior. And they'll go with 2 safeties tonight, Asher Moyer and Luke Snyder. Snyder, the leading tackler on this team, with 50 on the season. Both teams have made their appearance here on the field. Seals to the far side of the field, and the Braves to the near side. Seals in their all white uniforms, white helmet. The Braves will be in their maroon striped white pants, navy blue jerseys with the white trim and the navy blue helmet as well here at Shikellamy tonight. Getting ready for coverage on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel here in just a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So we'll pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Shikellamy Braves football.
Shikellamy Braves football on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and online or on your mobile device at WKOK.com.
And welcome to Shikellamy Stadium. Welcome to Shikellamy Stadium. Kevin Hur along with the Chief Dave Ritchie. Welcoming those of you on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel as well as listening on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Braves and the Seals in the Rally in the Valley. Edition number 11. This has already been a decade. Sealands Grove coming in at 3-0-1. Shikellamy coming in at 1-3 on the season here in Week 5. We do have a couple of fun things we'll do here during the broadcast, including our Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. That'll be the game, the play we pick in the post game that changed the, you know, the outcome of this game or had the most impact. We'll also be looking for the Blaze Alexander Ford Built Ford Tough Game of the Week. And, Chief, there aren't too many games going on in high school tonight, but there is one going on in Happy Valley. So we'll have Penn State, Iowa as our Blaze Alexander Ford Built Ford Tough Game of the Week.
Hey, you picked it, buddy.
Well, we do have a couple of games that are going on this evening besides this one. Jersey Shore is at Mifflinburg tonight. Warrior Run is at Northwest. And earlier today, Holy Cross, a winner over Columbia Montorvo Tech by a score of 29. 59-28. And, of course, you can follow all the scores tonight here on WKOK.com and click on our scoreboard. Both teams have already had their opportunity to hit the center of the field and, well, actually the end zone and do the official coin toss. This is the ceremonial version of the coin toss coming up.
Captains tonight for Shikellamy are Luke Snyder, Brody Raybuck. It looks like Tommy Treehan's out there, the freshman, and Asher Moyer, a junior.
Asher Moyer didn't get a whole lot of playing time the last couple of weeks because of injury.
Well, Braves have played defense only last week.
Braves have won the toss. They have elected to receive. Tom Gibble is our head referee tonight in the white hat.
You want to know the other officials?
Sure.
Since you seem to know everybody out there.
I know pretty much everybody on that crew.
Well, Ken Williams, Ron Marshall, Deacon Klein, Ryan Gibble, Vincent or Bo Ansaravich, and of course, the aforementioned Tom Gibble.
Yeah, he's Bo. He's Bo to everybody who knows him out of the Columbia County area, especially.
Bo Ansaravich.
Yep.
And you had nothing but good things to say about this crew.
I have worked with this crew in many forms over the years. And
they didn't throw you out any games?
No, no. As a matter of fact, one of these guys on here, I will not mention his name on the air, but we coached youth football together, as a matter of fact. Well, he did a lot of the coaching. And I did a lot of the pointing.
He's out on the field officiating, and you're up here sitting next to me.
What does that say about my football knowledge, huh?
No comment, buddy.
Well, as you can see on our WKOK Sports YouTube channel, the turf is in again, as well as the track. And the track has been set now, so it can be walked on. And I'll tell you what, a beautiful facility right now for football. And when everything gets finished next year, this is going to be a really great place to watch a football game. And I think you'll see a lot of playoff games here as well.
It'll be state-of-the-art, as they say. I know our AD is really, really pleased with the way things have turned out.
And here's the boot by Carter, or by Young. It gets taken at about the goal line. Coming to the far side of the field with the ball, looking for running room is Pollock, and he finds barely the 20-yard line, got to the 21. It'll be first and 10 at the 21-yard line for Shikellamy.
Again, Pollock tried to go up the Seals Grove side of the field, and he did a little bit more east-west running than north-south, and Seals Grove with nice coverage. Everybody stayed in their lanes, and you're right, Kevin, he got to the 21-yard line, and down he went.
So but the good news is he got to the 21-yard line.
Yes, he did.
I mean, if you would have got to the 20 or less, you know, that wouldn't have been as good as kneeling down in the end zone.
Well, we'll see what the Braves can do against this, I would call, very formidable defense that Seals Grove's thrown out there. Sometimes a 5-3, sometimes a 4-4.
Raybuck a week ago, hang hole off the right side for Luke Snyder. And boy, I'll tell you what, closing that gap quickly for the Seals was Gabison, the free safety. Otherwise, Luke would have had some yards.
Looked like there was one heck of a hole there between the tackle and tight end, and Luke hit it quickly, and of course that was a good reaction by the Seals defender as he came up to make the tackle. I think you're right, Kevin. He might have been headed for spaces unknown.
Or the maroon paint in the end zone.
Exactly.
Connor Fassbinder, the receiver, to the near side. Looks like Elliott in the slot to the near side. Shotgun formation. Here's the give. It's going to be Snyder again. Breaks the tackle. Kicks it outside to the 30. He's got the first down. Pulls his way ahead to the 40-yard line. Luke Snyder with a gain of 9 on second down. And the Braves will move the sticks for the first time tonight. And that will be three quarters earlier than they did on Monday night.
You're right,
for the
Kevin.
First time.
A lot of that was Luke Snyder running out of the grasp of about two or three of the Seal defenders. And, you know, again, Luke Snyder is such an important cog to this machinery that if he's going to have a good night, Braves are going to have a good night.
Is he a Cogswell cog?
Cogswell cog, the Jetsons.
I remember that. Three receivers far side of the field, one man in motion coming to the near side. That's Pollock, the dangerous guy in the backfield. It's going to be a play that just didn't quite work right, and Brody takes a shot as he got tackled early by Tucker Teets. It'll be a loss on the play of three, but a flag to the near side as well.
I think you're going to get the Braves. It's either motion. I think that's what it's going to be. Yeah.
It will be a procedure penalty against the Braves. It'll be 5 yards if they decide to do it, but no. Derek Hicks says, we're going to decline that. So the head coach of the Seals says, we'll take the play. Second down and a loss of two for Brody Raybuck, who has now had 51 carries and minus 20 yards now.
What the Braves were trying to do is they brought Pollock back to the formation, and then he reversed and was going to the left, and it looked like they were going to try to run the option. The dive man didn't get the ball, and before Brody could hit it to the pitch man, he got tackled.
10:13 to go here in the scoreless first quarter. This is the Braves' first possession. Three receivers on a second down and 12. Hand off to Snyder. Has a hole up the middle. Scoots to the right and goes and gets to the 35-yard line, and he'll get back to the original line of scrimmage. Third down and 10 coming up.
That is a big man in there at nose guard, Colin Melhorn. All right, he also plays left guard on offense. 307 pounds, 6'3". That's a lot of beef out there, Kevin, and he sure did fill that gap well.
That's his 11th tackle of the season. He has one tackle for a loss. That is a big nose. You know, there's always the debate. Do you want the big guy on nose, or do you want the tiny, quick guy on nose?
Maybe he's a big, quick guy, Kevin.
Maybe. Well, listen, if you can find the bonus there, you're in great shape.
Yeah.
They have not set the ball yet and officially whistled the ball for play, but I guess we have now.
Now they're going to start
the Braves
clock.
Have broken the huddle, so there's loads of time on the clock here. 9:36 winding here on the game clock on this third down and 10. Shotgun by Raybuck, coming to the near side. He's going to find Pollock, and Pollock could not hang on to it. And I don't know that there was much there, as Caleb Hicks had that one smelled out. It'll be fourth down and 10, and a punting situation for the Braves.
Yeah, it was one of those, basically it's a wide receiver screen, and Seals smelled that out right away. Pollock never, even if he would have caught the ball, he was going to get tackled pretty soon.
Tucker Cheats back to return, averaging 30 yards a return. He does have a 95-yard touchdown return on a punt this year. It'll be Raybuck, I believe, punting this one away, as he did last week. And he gets the direct snap, angles it to the near side, but then comes to the middle, and that one just kind of hung in the air on the run at the 45, 35, to the 40. Outside, now he goes. Look out. Here's running room for Teets. Down the sidelines, he is gone. No flags. Touchdown, Selinsgrove. Tucker Teets from the 35-yard line takes it in from 65 out.
Well, number 44 for Selinsgrove on the punt team delivered a devastating block. Ethan Miller. All right, Chicklemy's, I think it might even have been Luke Snyder was about ready to make the tackle, and he peeled back, and it was one devastating block, and boy, nobody's on contain, and that just left Bastion run the distance for the touchdown.
Yeah, there was no stopping number three there, Tucker Teets. He had some speed on that one. It's his second punt return for a touchdown of the season.
Was it Teets? It was,
yeah, it was three.
Yeah, my apologies. I don't know why I thought it was Bastion.
Carter Young, 16 of 18 on the season from extra point land. He'll have an opportunity to give Selinsgrove a 7-0 lead to the end zone to our left. Snap is high, sets down. The kick is up, high enough, long enough, and inside the right upright and good. So at the 9-minute, 11-second mark of the first quarter, it is Tucker Teets with a 65-yard punt return for a touchdown, and the Seals take an early 7-0 lead here at Shikellamy.
Again, it didn't take the Braves long to get behind. I mean, you know, they got a first down on two plays to start their offensive series. Then they had to punt after three more plays, and Teets takes it in. I'd like to say he's a Brave killer, but he's been a bulldog killer. You know, he's just a great running back. And you know, you have to give Selinsgrove's special team a lot of credit, because they did a nice job of blocking. Punt returns, a lot of times you can peel back and you can get a wall set up, and that's what they did. And, you know, again, I can't say enough about the block that Ethan Miller put on the Braves. First man down, okay, and it was a heck of a block that set this thing all going.
Shikellamy Braves football on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel, sponsored in part by Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck. From the 40-yard line to the near hash mark, it'll be Carter Young ready to boot the ball away.
one back deep for the Braves, including three at about the 15-yard line. And Young puts his foot into this one, and it will be going through the end zone for a touchback. That is touchback number 10 on the season.
He's the best kicker I've seen so far this year, Kevin. Especially on the kickoffs. I mean, that there's a little power behind that young man's leg.
Indeed.
60 yards, 62 yards in the air before it finally hit on the R in the end zone.
Number 10. 10 touchbacks in game 5. Even I can do the math on that, that two kicks every week go into the end zone on a minimum.
Kevin,
you know when I do the math on it, it's got to be easy math.
It's that good old Central Columbia Blue Jay math.
That's right. High formation now for Raybuck. Play action rolling out to the near side, looking for Snyder. Got it too far out of his hands at about the 23. Falls incomplete.
Just to basically run Snyder out of the backfield into the right flat or maybe a little bit at the line of scrimmage, and Brody threw it over his head.
It'll be second down and 10 at the 20-yard line for Shikellamy. Braves trailing at 7-0 here with 9:07 to go in the first quarter. Second possession for the Braves. Eye formation, one back offset, though, in that eye, actually. That's a wing back to the near side.
You know, the clock's not working, Kevin.
The play clock?
Yeah, it's not working.
Hand off, right up the middle. Nothing there at all for Snyder. He is met by everybody. And I think it was, I tell you what, it looked like Ethan Miller got in on that tackle from his linebacker spot as well.
Well, they tried to dive on the right side, and, there was no separation. The offensive line did not get a good surge, and basically Seals Grove just held their ground, and Luke had nothing but a wall in front of him, and let's just say the entire Seals Grove left side of their defense made the tackle.
Third down and 9, Braves with one first down so far. They'll look, come across the middle. Nice pass right into the hands of Fassbinder, who gets about a yard short of the first down to the 28-yard line. But that ball was thrown in some traffic, Chief.
Yeah, he did a nice job. Now it's fourth down, and they have less than about a half a yard to go. Fassbinder with a nice catch. He found the open spot, all right, in the secondary, and it was a good delivery by Brody, and it's a good idea. You got to kick this away.
Yeah, coach had a thought there a little bit, but then decided against it. I thought for a minute Coach Kizer was going to be a little bit more of a gambler than I've seen him be in years, but he's going to play it safe.
The way Seals Grove stopped that dive play before. All right, we're going to have a timeout here.
Well, they're going to talk about this one a little bit, but the question is, you have Tucker Teets that already ran 165 yards. He's setting up at the 35-yard line right now. I mean, sometimes do you sit back and weigh the options? It's like, we get another run back for a touchdown. We might as well run a running play and try and get the first down. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but if you think about it, which is the lesser of the two evils?
Well, I'm looking at Coach Kizer as he walked out from the huddle, and not quite sure what they're discussing here. I'm sure that if they're going to punt the ball, which looks like Brody's going back to punch, they're telling him, listen, you have to get down and cover. And, the long snapper this week is Luke Snyder. And he's the first one down the field usually because, basically you're not allowed to beat up on the long snapper.
Coach Schaefer, I think, was the one in there on the special teams discussion there. The question now you have to look at, you have to play safety punt here if you're Seals Grove, really, especially after that timeout. They're going to bring guys standing up instead of in the down position up front. Long count, good snap. Oh, well, now lost it. Got it back. Brody got it away. And it angles to about the 30. Teets picks it up at the 28, to the 40, to the 45, and is spun out of bounds at the 45-yard line by Luke Keeley. So it'll be first and 10, Seals Grove, for their first offensive possession with 7:29 to go here in this first quarter of play, with the Seals leading Shikellamy 7-0.
Well, Luke Keeley with a nice job of basically, making sure that if Teets was going to get around him, he's going to have to go out of bounds. But got a hold of his shoulders and held on. So here we go. Seals Grove offense starting on the right hash on their own 46-yard line.
I formation behind Pastore, who's
Got thrown four touchdowns and two interceptions this year. He'll send a man in motion to the far side of the field. That's Bastion. A handoff right side. And this time, instead of going to Teets, they go to the fullback, Bullington. And Bullington gets spun down after a gain of about two. Braves had a couple of guys in on that one. I think it might have been Treon there was one of the guys tackle.
Tommy Treon's in there playing around the nose guard position. Tried to, you know, mix it up a little bit, get that fullback quick hitter probably in the guard, in the right guard center gap, and Braves rose to the occasion.
Tonight on our WKOK Sports YouTube channel, our technical director is Ryan McDonald, our camera operator, Zavin McDonald. Second down and eight for the Seals. Pastore under center. He will give it to Teets, right side, makes a man miss, makes a second man, but the third man happens to be the safety, Luke Snyder, coming up for tackle number 51 on the season. And that'll be third down and one.
What the defense is doing is they're trying to keep Snyder out of the middle so he doesn't get double teamed. That was an 8-yard pickup by Tucker Teets.
Update coming up on our scoreboard, and there's the sneak by Pastore for an easy first down, gain of two at least. And an update on our Blaze Alexander Sunbury scoreboard. Jersey Shore leading Mifflinburg 7-0. That game in the first quarter of play as well in Mifflinburg tonight.
Looks like Pastore picked up 2 yards on that third down play.
Pastore in the I formation again with a first and 10. He has a 5-step drop, sets up, fires, looking long downfield. He's got a man. He overthrew his intended receiver on the far side, Caleb Hicks. He was wide open.
You know, Kevin, the first three games of the season, Caleb Hicks became the primary target for Pastore, and that time they ran the tight end down the seam, and they ran Hicks down the sideline on fly patterns, and not a bad decision to go for the bomb right there after you just picked up a first down. But again, Pastore overthrew him.
You know, I'm not sure if maybe it was Pastore that overthrew it. There is a breeze right now that is blowing right to left at the back of the Seals, and that might have carried that ball a little bit. It's a pretty stiff breeze, about 12 miles an hour. Hand off near side, and now they're going back to Tucker Teets and the bread and butter. He got a block on the outside to the end zone. Touchdown, Sealands Grove. Boy, that one block about the 20-yard line, Chief, changed everything
in
that play.
That was a 42-yard run, touchdown run by Teets. And, again, nice job on the outside. I'm talking about on the left-end position outside. And they just blocked down, kicked out the corner or linebacker, and Teets got through there, and nobody got a good angle on him.
I don't know that anybody got a hand on him.
No, I don't think they did.
Young ready for the extra point. Last snap was high, but it was handled quite well. Good snap this time. Sets down. The kick is up, and it is good. So with 5:47 remaining here in the first quarter play, it's Sealands Grove 14 and Shikellamy nothing. Shikellamy Braves football on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sponsored in part by Service First Federal Credit Union, Blaze Alexander Buick GMC Sunbury, and America's Hose Company.
That's four plays, and they went 54 yards in a matter of no time at all. Ran the ball three times, passed one time for incompletion, and I'll tell you what, if I had a running back like Tucker Teets and I had an offensive line that's been playing together for basically 3 years, the only person on that offensive line that's not a senior, I think, is Jack Peters. But Colin Melhorn, Camden Smith, Tegan Minear, and Aiden Lewis up front, that's a pretty formidable offensive line, and they're good. All right, they're not just big, they're athletic. I already talked about Melhorn being at 307, but Jack Peters is 235, Camden Smith is 237, Tegan Minear is 210, and Aiden Lewis is 208. But they're athletes, Kevin. They've got good foot skills, and they do a nice job of you know, getting to their blocks and holding their blocks.
So the Seals with a 14-0 lead here in the first quarter. And, you know, this is kind of what they did to Shamokin last Friday night. They just stomped on Shamokin early in that game and then just
basically gave everybody a rest from the starting lineup. And unfortunately for Shikellamy, it's looking very reminiscent of that again.
Well, the Braves, again, I think I talked about this on Monday night. The Braves need something positive to happen to get their minds back in this game.
The Shikellamy right now has been kind of in a funk since overtime against Central Mountain Chief. There's a line drive kick. It hits about the 10 and scoots into the end zone for touchback number 11. That one, though, was not in the air. And by the way, now Young hitting his average of two touchbacks a game.
That one hit about, what, the 11-yard line and took a good hit. That looked like it had a little bit of knuckleball on it. Wade Wilhelm style.
It hit at the 11-yard line. There was a poof of black tire from the new turf. Of course, if you're not aware, there is ground tires that they embed in the turf surface. And you could see it in spots as well, but you definitely see it when the ball hits.
Or if somebody is running, a lot of times you'll see it coming off their heels.
Yeah. Raybuck sends his lone protector back. He's going to go long. He's got an opportunity. It's Pollock. He's got Pollock. Pollock down the sidelines. They're not going to be able to catch him to the 5. Makes a man miss to the inside, and they did catch him for the first time all year. At the 5-yard line, a touchdown-saving tackle by Gavin Bastian as Thomas Pollock again takes one 75 yards. And that one will be his second longest catch of the season. He is electrifying.
I said he was fun to watch.
Almost made a man miss and got it into the end zone. That's the first time I've seen anybody come close to catching him.
He had a good angle on him. That was a nice job by the safety.
And off Snyder over the right side. Pyle pushed down to the 2-yard line. A gain of 3. And the Braves are knocking on the door to get in the maroon paint for the first time tonight. They're going to line right back up again. And they're going to be a long count by Raybuck. Tight formation with the wing. It's going to be the keeper, and he'll get to the 1-yard line, and that will do it.
No gain. Third down.
So it'll be now third down and goal from the 2.
He didn't pick up any yardage on that, Kev.
The buck keep did not go that far.
You know, that pass play was set up by Luke Snyder coming out into the right half or right flats. Everybody thought they were going to swing pass out to him, and Pollock just ran right by the corner over here. Nice thrown ball, too, by Brody.
Third down and goal from the 2-yard line. Raybuck with it. I formation under center. He's going to play action, roll out, looking, fires, has a man in the back of the end zone, overthrew his intended receiver, Owen Elliott. That'll bring up a 4th down and 2, and this has to be 4-down territory.
Kevin, again, Brody was, you know, did a little play action fake to the right and did a reverse pivot, rolled out to the left, and he's running backwards trying to throw that ball. He doesn't get his shoulder squared. And the main reason is because the linebacker on that side or the corner and both of them were in his face right away.
Rolling out to the far side is Fassbinder with man-to-man coverage over there. I formation on this 4th and goal from the 2. Raybuck hands it off left side. It is going to be number 28. Pollock, did he get in? He did! Touchdown! Shikellamy.
Well, they left Pollock get the ball from the tailback spot, and then they led up in there. A little bit of ice that I'm sure Luke Snyder did a heck of a job blocking along with the center and the 2 guards. And like I said, something good had to happen to the Braves, and it just did. Kevin, that was 5 plays, 80 yards, and the Pollock, Braves are on the scoreboard.
Pollock with his first rushing touchdown of the season. And right now, I believe the Braves are missing a kicker at the moment. No, I'm missing a holder. Steese is out there, but they're missing a holder right now. And you're right, the play clock is down. It's going to be Pollock that's going to hold, so he's going to have to hustle back out there after his 2-yard TD run.
I guess he was a little excited that he got in the end zone.
Well, he's going to have to try and finish this one off. Low snap. That one just was not going anywhere from the moment it went up in the air.
There was nothing there. I mean, the kick didn't go 2 yards.
The biggest problem was the snap was low, and they were kind of rushing everything, and Pollock couldn't get the set down. And you said it, the kick didn't go a couple of yards, and that was about it. But again, Mr. Electric, Thomas Pollock, gets a big catch down the sidelines, and credit again Gavin Bastian as being the first guy all year that has been able to catch him from behind for
not
a touchdown.
He had the right angle. That's why in defensive practice, a lot of times you run pursuit drills where, you know, you throw the ball out in the flat, and then you got guys lined up on the line of scrimmage. You got linebackers, you got your cornerbacks and safeties, and they got to catch the guy, and you got to pick the right angle to do it. And Gavin Bastian did.
Well, the Braves trailing now 14-6 with 4:13 to go here in the first quarter here on WKOK and on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel, Saturday Night Football. With the whiteout going out to Beaver Stadium, we'll keep you updated on that. That's our Blaze Alexander Ford, Built Ford Tough game of the week.
Five plays, 80 yards. The Braves on their third possession. Put it in the end
75
zone.
Of them on one big play. Here comes Steese, kicks this one. And it is taken by Hicks, the up man at the 25, to the 30, to the 35. Now has a seam to the 40, and will be just short of the 45 to the 44-yard line, spun down by Corbin Stahl.
Corbin usually playing a defensive corner on the kickoff team. Another Shikellamy freshman. So the Seals, this is actually only their second possession, because the first time they were going to get the ball, Tucker Teets went 65 yards on the punt return for a touchdown. First and 10 from the left hash.
Blaze Alexander Sunbury scoreboard. Phillies beat the Mets on Eagle 107, 7-5 earlier today. Back to pass, coming to the near side, and complete to Bastian to the near side. Bastian runs to the boundary and gets across the 50, across the 45, and down to the 43-yard line. Now that will be good for 15.
14, Kevin, 14 yards. They had him about 2 yards, past the line of scrimmage, but not a good job of, getting a hold and holding on. Gavin Bastian's first catch of the evening and Mark Pastore's first completion. 1 out of 2 he is right now.
So Pastore now with the under center now, first and 10 at the Shikellamy 44-yard line. They'll send a man in motion to the backfield. That's Bastian going to the right side now, kicking it out as Teets. He's got the corner to the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. No one is going to catch him. Touchdown, Tucker Teets. That's his third touchdown all-purpose of the night.
Well, Kevin, I have it unofficially like 43 yards.
You are correct. That is official. 3:51 remaining here in the first quarter, and it's been Teets on a punt return, Teets on a 42-yard rush, Teets on a 43-yard rush.
Two plays, 57 yards.
Extra point coming by Young. Long count, high snap, controlled, kick is up, and it is good.
That's a kick. That's what you expect when you set up to do your extra point. Get that kind of snap, set, and, I mean, just split the Albright. That thing would have been good from about the 20 or 25-yard line.
Just about everywhere.
Wow. You know, Seals Grove does what most good football teams do. A team gets a touchdown on you, something you weren't expected. They come right back in two plays and go the distance. And, of course, Teets with that great run.
Seals Grove with a 21-6 lead now as we roll through the first quarter of play here at Shikellamy Stadium. WKOK Sports YouTube channel coverage sponsored in part by Sunbury Motor Company, Northumberland National Bank, Lackawanna College, and W&L Subaru.
All right, Kevin, how's your math? There's a little quick math question.
No, you're always
asking me questions. Tucker Teets has 3 carries for 93 yards. So what's his average?
31.
Very good, buddy. Excellent job.
I love it when it divides evenly.
Yeah.
It's when it doesn't divide evenly that I'm in trouble.
I should have doctored that one up and said 95 yards, but
again, when it divides evenly, that's my mathematical wheelhouse.
And again, folks, these are chief statistics, not necessarily accurate.
They're official as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
They're unofficial official.
Officially unofficial. Young with the ball, boots it away, and he will put that one through the end zone for a touchback. Todd Hubbles to my left from the Daily Item. He's the one that actually probably has the official.
He has everything.
Yeah.
So. It's always good to have Todd sitting to it with us. I enjoyed a lot when Todd did the play-by-play at Lewisburg, and I did the color commentary.
He just said he'd trust the math teacher before he'd trust himself. I get that. I mean, you know,
well, I
can't argue with that logic.
I'm just writing down what I have for yardage. You know, that yardage might be a little bit different, but
can't argue with that logic.
So far, right now, I would say Tucker Teets is pretty good running back, wouldn't you, Kev?
Yeah, he's all right. He'll get the job done. Raybuck in the shotgun. Here's another pretty good running back, but not able to get anything going this time is Luke Snyder. Snyder will get. Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, he lost the yard.
I think he did lose 1 yard.
It'll be second down and 9 as the clock winds with 3:30 remaining here in this first quarter play. And, you know, right now, you have a Tucker Teets guaranteed Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. It's just a point of which one. Three receivers to the far side. Low snap. Brody makes a man miss. He's in some trouble. He's going to have to throw it away.
That's a fumble.
Actually, I don't think so. I think it's an incomplete pass. I think his arm is moving, but the officials disagree.
No,
and they're going to say it's Selins Grove football.
Yes.
Now, that's interesting because the official was halfway between incomplete and stop the clock signal and decided to call it a fumble.
Well, I'll bet if we had challenges that...
No, you know what? I don't think it was.
I don't think it was a fumble either.
No. I think it was a fumble. I don't think his arm was going forward yet.
Okay.
It was very close.
Well, where are we at? We're on the 8-yard line.
It is at the 8-yard line, yes. And looking at it back, I have the opportunity to do that, just peeking over at our YouTube feed, and that is the case. Back to pass. Pastore fires it in the end zone. Wide open, Caleb Hicks. Touchdown, Selins Grove. Hicks with his third catch for a touchdown of the season. One play, 8-yard pass.
You know, I like Coach Hicks' style. You know, you basically know that you could probably pound the ball in with your running back, Tucker Teets. But why don't give your quarterback a chance here to, you know, to experience trying to throw a touchdown pass when the field's short and when you're in the red zone like that. And he did a great job. 8-yard touchdown pass from Pastore to Caleb Hicks.
So the extra point pending now in what has been an offensive juggernaut, but not many plays offensively in that juggernaut. Extra point, high snap, sets down, the kick is up, and it's good. So with 3:07 remaining here in the first quarter, it is Selins Grove 28 and Shikellamy 6.
Well, that was a one-play 8-yard drive, Kevin.
Yes, it was.
Set up by the fumble. You know, first of all, when Brody was in the shotgun position, the snap from the center back to him hit the ground in front.
Yep.
So he had to reach down and pick it up. And, you know, I think they were trying to go to one of the players, one of the receivers on the right side. I thought he was going to do like a little curl. And when he looked up, he was, again, being smothered by white shirts. And he tried to get out of that, did a little step to the right and reversed it. And then he tried to throw the ball, and he was in the grasp.
Well, time now for our rules of the game presented by Wiest Better Rice,
you
LLC.
You want to glue my mouth shut right now?
Now, we're kind of cut Chief's mic. If those of you that were with us Monday night remember that Chief gave this one away, but we're going to try a different one now. After a penalty flag, the official puts both hands behind the back of his head. What does that signal mean? So again, after a penalty flag, the official puts both hands on the back of his head. What does that signal mean?
Well, you see this penalty, Kevin.
I did not see that penalty.
That's a 15-yard penalty against the Seals for something.
Unsportsmanlike conduct.
o'clock and 7.
Well, that is not our Wee Sweets Better and Rice LLC question, but that is definitely a penalty you want to avoid, and this is going to make it really, really tough for Carter Young to put this one in the end zone. Although the Braves still have two back at the 10-yard line. What does that say about what this young man's legs like? And it will be taken at the 18. Going to the 20, to the 25, to the 30, and at the 33-yard line. That is as far as Luke Snyder will be able to take it.
Miller on the stop for the field.
So Snyder will get it to the 33-yard line, best starting field position of the game for Shikellamy, with 3:01 remaining in the first quarter, and the score 28-6 in favor of Selins Grove here in the first.
Well, this is going to be Shikellamy's fifth possession here, Kevin. Their best, probably their best field position.
So it'll be Raybuck with the shotgun, sidecar right. Three receivers far side. They're gonna try, this is the play I think they were trying before. The pitch to Snyder. Snyder cannot get outside. Great pursuit on the edge at the 30-yard line by the Seals. And more specifically by, let's see, that was that 28?
I think it was.
I was trying to see it, and it was either Mitchell or Bullington, I thought, that came down and made the play.
So a loss of a yard.
Second down and 11. Raybuck with a direct snap. Looking long. He's got again number 28, Thomas Pollock, and he's got the catch at the 41-yard line.
You know, the defender for Selins Grove never got inside of him. Pollock kept inside of him, all right? Great job by the freshman, and nice throw by Brody.
25 yards on the completion down to the 41-yard line of Selins Grove. Thomas Pollock has made some great catches tonight, made one on the run, and that one he had to come back and adjust and fight for. I formation now with Raybuck under center. Long count. Raybuck hands it off to Snyder. Makes a man miss. Pulls over a guy at the 40 to the 39-yard line.
You know, I watched that play. Luke looks to the lane to his right, and he's gone downfield a lot farther. You know, but I guess it's not Luke's nature to try to avoid a hit. He really did put a hit on that young man.
Mitchell got up quickly, fortunately, but he really took a shot there as he was a speed bump on the way to a 4-yard gain. Second down and about long 6. With a tight broken eye. Play fake. Brody rolling out. Pressure's coming. He's in trouble. He's got to get rid of it, and it goes incomplete. He did have two receivers about 5 yards further down, but he was also outside the tackle box as well.
That is dangerous, all right? That thing gets hit up in the air, and, you know, that would be the defensive lineman's dream to pick that off and rumble, stumble, and ramble down 60 yards.
Well, we already saw a defensive interception on Monday night.
Yes,
I was going to say last week, but it was Monday night. Third down and 6 now for the Braves. Raybuck now in the shotgun on this third down. He's going to keep it himself. Has a lead blocker to the right side and is doubled over at the 35-yard line after a gain of 2. It'll be fourth down and 4. Have to get to the 31-yard line for the first down.
Well, you're down by 22 points here with the quarter's not over yet, and you're thinking, well,
got to get something going.
Should we go for it? And it looks like they're going to do that.
Clock winding with 54 seconds remaining here in the first quarter. It'll be fourth down and 4. I have to get to the 31-yard line for the first down. Over to the far side, Pollock in the slot. Raybuck looks at Pollock, gets it to Pollock. Pollock breaks a tackle. Somehow, well, now they say his knee hit the ground, but somehow his knee didn't hit the ground, but it is going to be a loss on the play. Back to the 39-yard line, and that will be a turnover on down. So the Seals will take over with their, I think, worst field position of the night. We're close to it.
But they're going to be on their own 39-yard line, so no first down for the Braves.
First and 10 for the Seals at the 39-yard line of Sealands Grove. High formation behind Pastore, the quarterback. Pastore looks over the defense here as we go late first quarter. Hand off, right side. No, it's going to be a play fake. And he's got a man wide open. And again, he overthrew his intended receiver, Bastion. That's twice the play fake has bit. The safeties have bit on him. Bastion has just run right by him. And twice, Pastore just couldn't make the connection.
Yeah, he came clean, all right.
Clock stop with 28 seconds remaining here in the first quarter. Second down and 10 from the Sealands Grove 39-yard line. One receiver coming to the near side. That's going to be Studer. He's going to come in motion now to the backfield. And it will be Teets right side. Oh, Teets just took a forearm to the chest. Big hit.
Asher Moyer.
Was that Asher?
Yeah, Asher Moyer, number five.
And Teets, after hurdling a defender, took a shot and popped right back up.
That's a heck of a hit.
At the 45.
Woo.
My, oh, my. And that will do it for the first quarter play. So at the end of one, it is Sealands Grove 28, Shikellamy 6. Third down coming up when we return. This is Shikellamy Braves football on News Radio 1070 WKOK, WKOK.com, and on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel. Shikellamy and Sealands Grove here in the Rally in the Valley, 11th year of this one. 28-6, second quarter underway with the Sealands Grove Seals leading in a third down and four situation. Pastore now under center with an I formation. Pastore with a three-step drop, pump fakes, and he is sacked! Preston Spontarelli with sack number three of the season.
That was a great job by Spontarelli. He came from his linebacker position, hit the gap in the right spot, and he threw Pastore for a 5 or 6 yard loss.
Spontarelli playing linebacker tonight for the first time. It was a practice on Thursday. They were trying to teach him read recognition. Well, that one he read as the quarterback keeping the ball and no one in front of him.
Well, the Seals are forced to punt here, Kevin.
And back deep will be Thomas Pollock, who's averaging 10 yards a return on kickoffs and 14 on punts. Long count now from Young, the punter. He'll boot the ball away, and wow, did he get his foot into that one. Fair catch called for and dropped, but then Pollock hops back on it at the 18-yard line. It'll be first and 10, Shikellamy, at the 18-yard line. On our Blaze Alexander Buick GMC Sunbury scoreboard, Jersey Shore leading Mifflinburg in the first quarter by a score of 14-0. Still looking for updates on Northwest and Warrior Run tonight. 13-0 Warrior Run leading Northwest after the first. Is this the first year Northwest had lights to have a night game? Or it's got to be. That's weird. I think it might be more fun. You know what, though? Didn't they get lights from a Major League Baseball stadium years ago?
Yeah, they had turf.
Just thinking about that. That's a Google thing later. Coming back with it is Raybuck. Raybuck, pump fake, pressure from behind, and he sacked and fumbled the ball. And the Seals, I believe, hopped back on that
one. Yes, they did.
It'll be a sack and a fumble recovery for Devin Mitchell. Mitchell coming up with that one. That's sack number two and his first fumble recovery for it of the season.
Well, Brody was rolling out to the left, and he's trying to set up. It looks like they're making a double move with the wide receiver over here, and Brody was waiting for the second move, but he got, it was one of those tomahawk chops from the backside and knocked the ball loose.
Seals with the ball again in the red zone, starting at the 14-yard line. One man in motion, that's Hicks to the far side. Let me scratch that. Pump fake, firing it. That was two. Number four, Caleb Hicks, and that one falls incomplete. Just a whisker behind him.
You know, the Braves had a great defensive series there. And the last time Seals Grove had the ball, they had a big hit by Asher Moyer to stop Tucker Teach short of the first down, and then the sack by Spontarelli. And what got Seals Grove out of a lot of trouble was that great punt that put that pinned the Braves down on their 18. And then, of course, the fumble by Brody after he was hit gave the Seals what I would call excellent field positions. Excellent.
That might excellent. Be the understatement of the game. Yeah. Here's the handoff, right side, and Teats looking for some running room there. He'll find enough to get across the 10 to the 9-yard line.
There was nothing there, and all of a sudden he just does a good job of keeping his legs going and a little bit of power. And he goes down to the, is that the 8-yard line, Kev?
He is down at the 9 3/4 yard line.
9 3/4 line, wow.
Yeah, it's actually just beyond the 9 to almost the 8.
See, the thing that gets me is that's a 6-yard gain. They have those soccer lines out there. It's hard to tell sometimes where the ball is.
Got to remember the soccer lines are
yellow.
Colors. Yep. Here's the rollout, handoff right, left side, rolling over to the left is going to be number 3, Tucker Teets. He'll get the first down as Snyder stops him at the 1-yard line, though.
It's a pickup of 7. I've got Tucker Teets with 111 yards right now on 6 carries. I'm not going to ask you to do the math on that one, Kevin.
Please don't.
I won't.
It's too late in the evening, and my brain's already fried. Pastore with the I formation, first and 10, first and goal at the 1-yard line. We'll get you an update on our Blaze Alexander Ford Built Ford Tough Game of the Week here in just a moment. Pastore under center. He's going to hand it off left side, and guess who's got it? It's Tucker Teets. So Teets picks up another one, his shortest of the night, a 2-yard touchdown.
I'd say it only 1 yard, Kevin.
With 9:32 to go here in the second, and Seals Grove down with a 34-6 lead.
You know, that's 2 touchdowns now that have been set up by the Seals defense as they caused fumbles in the Shikellamy backfield. Both times, Brody Raybuck trying to get rid of the ball as there's a lot of pressure on him, and two fumble recoveries and.
I'll tell you what, that was quick there. It ended up turning out to be a two-point conversion. They lined up for the extra point, and as they were lining up, the snap was muffed, and then they had to just scramble, yell fire, and almost completed the two-point conversion here in the near corner of the end zone for two.
I don't know. Where I'm sitting, Kevin, the end zone looks like the corner of this building.
Ironically, it is a little bit. Yeah.
No, right here.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. Ironically, it is a little bit.
You have to understand, folks, that no matter what press box we're in, I always get the position where there's part of the field is blinded. And when I was younger, I used to stand up and watch, but I refuse to do that right now, Kevin.
It's just not worth it anymore. Well, you know, one of these days, we'll get some decent, good sight lines.
Yeah, we will.
Get some good sight lines.
How long have we been doing this, Kevin?
Longer than I can count.
Unfortunately, the Shikellamy renovation of the sports complex does not include a new press box.
That's all right. Somebody was saying they wanted to name it after me. I said, just please make it not Memorial. I'm sure it was a joke, by the way, the whole idea.
No,
that was not a serious comment, just so everybody knows.
That was a 3-play, 14-yard drive as Seals Grove got the ball like in their backyard, and it was a short porch for them.
Sure was, and there's the end-over-end kick taken by Pollock at about the 6 to the 10, middle of the field to the 15 to the 20. He's got open field, 25, stays on his feet to the 30, and short of the 35 to the 34-yard line. Looked like he was going to be down, and as he always does, finds a way to keep 2 feet underneath him in that 129-pound frame and finds a couple extra yards.
You know what they call that, Kevin? Great balance of the body.
Well, I'll say.
I mean, he was hit to one side and going down. He put it on his right hand, held onto the ball, and stayed. You know, if that other guy wouldn't have hit him, I think he'd still be running.
We'll give you an update on our Blaze Alexander Ford Built Ford Tough Game of the Week here in just a moment. Penn State and Iowa at Beaver Stadium in a whiteout. Raybuck under center with an I formation behind him. He will hand it off to Snyder. Snyder makes a man miss to the right side of the 45, 35, all the way down to the 39-yard line. A gain of five on what looked like it was going to be two.
Good hard running by Luke Snyder that time.
13:04 to go in the first quarter. Iowa with the ball, and Iowa and Penn State scoreless at Beaver Stadium. And our Blaze Alexander Ford built for tough game of the week. Now one lone back and a wing to the near side with 8:52 and counting in the half. Brody got kind of tripped up there,
wow.
And everybody in a white shirt on the defensive line was inside and got to Luke Snyder as he got the ball, and a loss of two on the play.
Did you notice that it looked like the fullback that Brody had to actually lift up over the fullback to get it to Snyder?
Yeah.
Just didn't seem like there was a lot of sink in that play.
Was there a pull there?
No, there was not.
I didn't think so, but it kind of looked like a guard that got to a pull late. But I think it was so blown up on the inside by the Seals' defensive line. Raybuck to the near side, swings it out, finds Moyer. Moyer breaks the tackle to 40 and is scooted out of bounds at the 41-yard line. That'll be a gain of five. It'll bring up a fourth down and two. Lights obviously taking full effect on this first day of autumn. At 2:45 this morning, were you up at 2:45 to celebrate, Chief?
I was up at 2:45, but I was doing a lot. I wasn't doing any celebrating.
Maybe we don't want to know what you were doing at 2:45 in the morning. After further review, the play stands as called. Shotgun formation, Raybuck. Raybuck looks for the pitch. Nobody there to pitch to, and just goes ahead by about a yard, and that was it. Boy, he did not have the opportunity there to do really anything he wanted to.
And the Braves turned the ball over on downs, Kevin.
A turnover on downs. So it'll be a first and 10 for the Seals at the 41-yard line of Shikellamy.
Again,
leading it by a score of 34-6.
The Braves have given this potent offense a lot. Is that a new quarterback?
Looks like it might be. Let's see. No, it is
eight,
not.
It is. Okay.
It is going to be Pastore. He completes it to the far side of the field, finding Teets over there. Teets has the first down, and he will race all the way down to the 26-yard line. That'll be a gain of 15.
14. I'm going to give him. Was that Teets caught that ball?
Yes. Wow. Yes, it was. And that will be his sixth catch of the season. Although he did not get his average of 21 yards a catch that time. Pastore now in the shotgun, in the pistol, actually. They'll hand it off this time, and it goes right to, is that Miller? Yeah, it is Miller, down to the side after bouncing off two tacklers, and he gets to the pylon for the touchdown. From 26 yards out, it looked like Miller was going to be stopped at about the 25-yard line, kicks it outside, and shows a little bit of speed, picks up touchdown number three on the season.
It was Miller?
Miller. Yep, Ethan Miller, the 5'10", 175 junior. Number 44 in your program.
Yeah, I got it. He just did a nice job of bouncing off one of the Shikellamy people tried to tackle.
Extra point is good with 7:08 to go here in the second quarter of play. It is Sealants Grove 41 and Shikellamy 6. While we have this opportunity, it is time now to take a look at rules of the game by Wiest Wiest Benner and Rice LLC. All right, Chief. Penalty flag. The official comes up, and he puts both hands on the back of his head. What does that signal mean?
Not above his head, on the back of his head?
On the back of his head. Both hands on the back of his head.
Illegal touch, illegal kick?
The signal is loss of down.
Okay. That one I didn't know. I know that if he has it above his head, it's timeout.
Well, that's actually, it's an illegal man downfield if it's one hand above his head.
Two.
No, one hand above is illegal man downfield.
But two, he had two above his head. I thought it was timeout.
No, two behind his head. to listen to the question. That's Rules of the Game, presented by Wiest Wiest Better and Rice, LLC in Sunbury. When you need help with the rules of law, contact Wiest Wiest Better and Rice. They can guide you through personal injury, accident and injury, divorce, family and estate
divorce,
law.
Divorce, there we're going, buddy.
As well as civil and human rights and criminal law. Call 570-286-4022. Let Wiest Wiest Better and Rice help you avoid penalties.
You need to come up with some easier questions. That was very vague.
Listen, Monday nights was so easy, you answered it before I even finished it.
How many more do I have to do? Four?
Well, how many more games? We have five games left.
Do we have five left?
Yeah, this is week five. We play 10 weeks. Five and five is 10.
But I'm away the last week, so I only have four to go. Oh, you didn't know that?
I did not know that. The kick ends to the 5, and did it get inside the pylon? It did not get inside the pylon. It goes out of bounds just before the pylon at the 1-yard line.
Didn't I tell you at the beginning of the year?
You said you were going out. You didn't say when. You didn't say you were losing. You were missing the last game.
Notre Dame and Pittsburgh.
So this one's going to come out to the 35-yard line.
Tim Four's available.
And the Braves will have field position from the far hash mark at the 35-yard line.
That question messed me up. I'm sorry. It messed up my statistics.
You're statistically messed up.
Yeah.
And next time I'll explain it and then show it to you. How's that? Maybe we'll do it on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel as well.
All right.
Here comes Brody with a pitch. Pitch to the right side. It goes to Pollock. He's going to turn the corner. And the speedster gets to the edge and picks up about 3 yards to the 37-yard line. Make that the 38-yard line. Clock winding with 6:49 to go here in the half. Selins Grove leading it 41-6. Second down and about 7 for the Braves. 3 receivers coming to the near side as they move right to left here in the second quarter. They're going to send Snyder to the far side. 5 quicks now, no protection for Brody. 3-man rush, has some time, fires, finds Moyer. First down at the 47-yard line and couldn't break the tackle, or otherwise he was going to get to the edge.
Looks like he got 9 yards on that catch. Nice,
yes,
nice throw by Brody. Put it right where it needed to be. Selins Grove defenders couldn't get it. Nice little spin-around move by Asher Moyer, and unfortunately the Seals had a hold of him, and he get a chance to break away from that. That's Asher's second catch of the day.
First down for the Braves. Now the ball at the Shikellamy 47. Raybeck now keeps it to himself. And the Raybeck sweep goes
nowhere.
Back to the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Second down and 10 for the Selins Grove Seals. Shikellamy Braves football on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel. Brought to you in part by Sunbury Motor Company, Northumberland National Bank, Lackawanna College, and W&L Subaru, along with our friends at Wise Markets.
Timeout Shikellamy, Kev.
That'll be their second charge timeout of the half. Clock will be stopped now with 5:42 remaining here in the first half, 41-6. Take a moment here and update scores on the Blaze Alexander Buick GMC Truck Sunbury scoreboard. It is Jersey Shore 30 and Mifflinburg nothing. That game in the second quarter right now. Here in the rally in the valley, 41-6 in favor of Selins Grove. Tucker Teets with a punt return for a touchdown, a 42-yard rushing touchdown, 43-yard rushing touchdown, 2-yard rushing touchdown, as well as the ground yardage just gets larger and larger for this Selins Grove offense. High formation behind Raybeck now. Second down and 10 at the Shikellamy 47. Raybeck looking. 5 guys up front, and Luke Snyder gets it and goes nowhere. Matter of fact, he lost a pair of yards back to the 45-yard line, and Logan Dressler was one of the guys that got in there early to stuff up that hole.
Loss of 2 on the play, 3rd and 12.
Third down and long for Shikellamy at a very beautifully painted Shikellamy logo and a very large one that goes from hash to hash and from the 41-yard line to the 41-yard line.
It's 20 yards, Kev. Close to a 20, yeah. 18.
Shotgun sidecar right, four quicks. Now the pump fake. And this time he and Pollock were not on the same page. Pollock ran the post, and Brody threw the out. It'll be fourth down and a punting situation for Shikellamy.
Well, the Braves have had 8 possessions. Only one ended in any scoring, which was the touchdown by Pollock. And they've had to punt the ball away several times, and that they had no first down when they went for it on fourth down. So Braves offense, except maybe for Brody Braybuck's passing, is pretty dismal.
Here comes Brody's punt, and he got a beauty off. Tucker Teach goes back to the 10, lets it hit, picks it up at the 8. Now to the middle of the field, to the 10, to the 15, outside to the hash marks, to the 20, to the 30, down the numbers, to the 40, to the 50. He's got nobody to beat, and it is absolutely gone. Touchdown from 92 yards away.
Kevin, four of our guys.
There is a flag at the 45 of Shikellamy.
Four of Shikellamy's players just stood there and I don't know what was going on. There was an official there. That was bizarre, folks. It was just bizarre.
There is a flag now that they moved it to about the Shikellamy 44-yard line.
I think it's
going to
be
hold.
Personal foul.
Well, it's definitely a hold here. I don't know if there's another one there.
There was only three people that got downfield to go after the punt. Everybody else was back here at the line of scrimmage.
So with 4:36 remaining here in the first.
15-yard penalty, maybe.
Well, it's definitely a hold. I saw holding. Let's see. Here comes our official. Mr. Gibble says holding against the Seals. The hold happened at the 44-yard line of Shikellamy.
But it's going to be Seals' ball.
It still will be Seals Grove ball, but the 92-yard touchdown comes off the board, and it will be Seals Grove ball at the 47-yard line. The Seals Grove 47-yard line, Chief.
Kevin, I'm telling you that when Teets got the ball, there was one guy down there, and then two, and then three, and the rest of the team was back here. I don't know what was going on.
So we have a first down and 10 at the Seals Grove 46-yard line. Pastore now in the pistol. Three receivers near side. Back to pass with a five-step drop. Pressure's coming. Look.
He wasn't going to get a first down if he ran the ball.
Blaze Alexander Ford, Built Ford Tough, game of the week. Penn State and Iowa, the number 7 Nittany Lions, leading with 5:12 to go in the second. 10-0 over Iowa. That game on Eagle 107. Listen to that on the way when we wrap up here tonight. Back to pass, Amato rolls out to the far side, gets to the sideline, fires it deep into the end zone, incomplete. Pass intended there for, looked like Jacob Bettle might have been the receiver on the far side.
Braves take over on downs, Kevin.
Comes from 55.
That will be the turnover on downs. Clock will stop with 6:26 remaining. With 6:26 remaining, they'll wind the clock now that they have set the ball. It will be the Shikellamy offense coming out on the field, and let's see which way the Braves go on this one. Appears as though they have some starters.
You still got Brody Raybuck
in
there.
Well, and again, you know, this is the thing that people may not understand if you don't regularly listen to the broadcast. You can put the younger guys in there, but there's not too many guys that are much younger than the guys they have in there right now. Raybuck fires it over, and a nice open field tackle and a finish of that tackle on Pollock.
Yeah, wow. Number 25, DeClan, I think it is, Abrahams.
Abrams.
Did a nice job of getting there just as Pollock caught the ball to make the initial tackle or the initial hit.
Then I think it was Rule that came in to finish it off.
Still, they picked up five yards on that.
Second down and 5.
Brody's. Brody's well over 200 yards passing tonight, Kevin.
Ray Buck now in the shotgun, sidecar to the left, gets the direct snap, rolls out, has green grass or turf, decides to fire it anyway, and it falls.
Incomplete
to Stahl.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was looking for a signal, and I didn't see an official make the signal, but it does fall incomplete, third down and about five. At the 34-yard line, clock now winding under five to go in this one. Selins Grove leads it 54-14 as the clock continues to roll. Raybuck with Maez, the sidecar to his right. Gets the snap, rolls out, fires it to Walter, the tight end on the out pattern. He makes the catch, and they'll knock him out of bounds at the 39-yard line.
I think he's going to be short, Kevin.
I think he's going to be about a yard short.
No, the ball, it's at the 39 there.
Well, so it depends on where they put the ball.
It's a first down.
Yeah, it's on just beyond the 39-yard line, so it does become a first down. If they put the ball short of the 39-yard line, it was going on the other side, it was going to be about a half a yard short. Raybuck with the first and 10. Takes the direct snap. He will look, fall, step. Now he's going to run to the 40, 45, to the 50. Stiff arm to the 40. And in Selins Grove territory, tackled at the 38-yard line. And a last-minute tackle there by Martinez.
Yeah, Brody with a nice job. He just turned on the jets and took off. And, you know, Brody's got some speed, too, if he can get out of the grasp of the guys that are trying to tackle him.
Well, you know, we talked about second team in for Selins Grove, but Braves have some of their younger first-teamers in. See, including, look like Hakeem Stansbury. Is he a receiver here?
Yeah.
Here's Baez. Baez right up the middle. Comes up with 10 on that first down carry. Inside the 30 to the 29. They'll spot him now at the 30-yard line.
About a yard short. Nine-yard pickup for Baez.
Trying to pick it up. I saw a new receiver in the slot that I hadn't seen before. And it looked like an odd number, and I don't see it there. Well, Raybuck now with a second down and one at the 30. Rolling to the near side, firing at the fastbinder, breaks a tackle, spins inside to the 25. Now spins out of a tackle to the 20, to the 15. He knocked out of bounds, knocked off his feet, rather, near the out of bounds at the 16-yard line.
Connor,
first and 10.
Connor held on to the ball that time, Kevin. You know, when you're 6'3", 6'4", and you're standing straight up, most of those guys are coming about the ball level with their heads. And, you know, and
That's true. I didn't think about that.
You got to make sure that you hold on to it, and he did.
That's a great point. Raybuck now with a shotgun. He'll give it to Baez. Baez has the C-part in front of him and just getting to about the 13-yard line before getting tackled by Kendarinski.
Well, he picked up a couple there, Kevin. Looks like he picked up four.
Second down and six for the Braves. Have to get to the 6-yard line for the first down. Clock winding under 2 minutes to go in this one. Raybuck. Direct snap, three-man rush. They'll swing it out.
Boy.
That ball sailed as he went to Asher Moyer, who was wide open.
He was wide open, Kevin.
That ball just took off. That might have been the most open a Braves receiver has been all game.
Well, you forgot about Pollock that first run.
True.
That was much more exciting, too.
Walter in the slot to the near side. That might have been who I saw earlier. Hand off to Baez. No, it's going to be Brody himself. Brody looking for a block. Gets to the outside. Got the first down before he got knocked off his feet by Santos.
That's a good open field tackle by Santos. A little bit difference in the body types there between Brody, Raybuck, and him. He did a nice job of getting at his legs and putting them down.
You might have missed a Pollock block there because it didn't really affect anything, but Pollock, being as big as he is, put on a pretty good block that got Brody an extra half a yard or so. First and goal at the about 6-yard line. Raybuck, low snap, picks it up, fires to the near side. Asher Moyer bobbles incomplete.
I think they're going to get one more playoff here, Kevin.
There's 34 seconds remaining in this one. And the Braves now coming to the line of scrimmage. They'll send two receivers to the near side. Make it three now. Are they going to get it off in time? They're 16. There go. They're going to get it off. It's going to go above it. Raybuck's head. He's going to have to land on it at the 21-yard line.
And that's how the game's going to end.
And that will end the game most likely. Selinsgrove wins the rally in the valley with a final score of 54-14. Once again, thank you for watching on our WKOK Sports YouTube channel. Ryan McDonald, our technical director tonight. Zama McDonald, our camera operator for the Chief. Dave Ritchie, I'm Kevin Herr. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next Friday night here at Chickalamy Stadium. Airtime just before kickoff at 7 on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel. Stick around on WKOK and WKOK.com for the postgame show. We'll also have a look at the Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. Selinsgrove 54, Chickalamy 14. This has been a WKOK Sports presentation. Selinsgrove improves to 4-0-1 on the season. Braves will fall to 1-4 on the season. Selinsgrove now leading the series 38-28 and have a 7-game win streak here in this matchup between Selinsgrove and Chickalamy. Let's take this opportunity to pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is Chickalamy Braves football.
Chickalamy Braves football on News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and online or on your mobile device at WKOK.com.
Kevin Herr along with the Chief, Dave Ritchie, as we wrap things up here from Chickalamy Stadium for Saturday Night Football as the Seals defeat the Braves here this evening by a final score of 54-14. Seals did it early with a 65-yard punt return from Tucker Teets. He also had a 42-yard return, a 42-yard rush, a 43-yard rush, a 2-yard rush as well. Rice with a 69-yard touchdown. The two highlights for the Braves, a 2-yard touchdown run by Thomas Pollock after a big 75-yard receiving catch. Baez with a 5-yard touchdown reception. Raybuck to Baez. Baez picking up his first touchdown in the air. And Walter picks up the 2-point conversion, the tight end on an out pattern. Selinsgrove, very, very impressive here tonight in this first half, Chief.
Yeah, Coach Hicks did a nice job, I thought, of managing the second half. I mean, he was in the mercy rule starting the quarter. He got a quick touchdown, and then he decided, let's give a lot of kids a chance to play, and he did that. So did the Braves. The Braves, again, I think played a lot of people, but like you made a good comment. Sometimes there aren't as many people to put in there as you would think, so the Braves did have to keep like Brody in at quarterback, but they rested some others. So, but it's a good football team at Selinsgrove.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about this. If you're a Selinsgrove fan, going, most of the starters are still in the game. Well, here's your starters. Your starters are a sophomore. Your starter's a freshman. A freshman. A freshman. You got a freshman on the offensive line. You know, the skill position are all underclassmen. There's good and bad in that. The good is, think about the talent that those skill positions have right now and how much better they're going to be as they get older and come up together here in this system. The bad part is it's going to take a couple of years for that to happen, and you're going to take your lumps. And right now the Braves are taking their lumps here with the heartbreaking loss against Central Mountain a couple of weeks ago. On Monday night, getting handled by Jersey Shore. Tonight, getting handled by Selinsgrove. Then they have next Friday night here at the stadium a game against Shamokin. Still have Mifflinburg on the schedule. To me, that's a 50-50 game, maybe 60-40 leaning to Mifflinburg. You have another game that is a very winnable game at Bloomsburg on the schedule. You've got a game against Mount Carmel right now that I think if they play the way they can play, they can stay with Mount Carmel in that one. And then you have the wrap the season up at Southern Columbia that, let's be honest, is going to be an uphill battle. But I think there's still some opportunities here for some highlights in this season before things wrap up here in 5 weeks from tonight, as we're at the halfway point now of the season.
Let's quickly look at our Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game, Chief. You were talking about it earlier. To me, I think there were a couple of candidates here. The one was the punt return. Well, the punt return. The punt return to start the game just kind of took the air out of this stadium.
Yeah, that was kind of an omen, Kevin. And you're right. The Braves had gotten a first down, and then they had to punt after the second series of downs. And, of course, Tucker takes the ball in from 65 yards out, and they were down 7-0 before they even had a chance to tie their shoelaces.
Right, and I think if you even look at the second one with 5:47 to go, Braves are moving the ball from time to time, and then Teets puts in a 42-yarder on another short series and made it 14-0. But I agree with you, although those had a big part in this game, it really started to unravel with the play you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, the first time they sacked Brody inside Shikelmy's own 10-yard line, and the ball came loose, and they recovered it, and they had first and goal from the 8. They get the next touchdown. So, you know, any one of those works for me, Kevin. But if I'm going to be greedy, I'll say mine's the best.
No, I like that one, and I agree with you. I think when you look at the game as a whole, every one of those plays had a big impact in the game. But that one finally kind of shut the door early in this one, and that became our Shamokin Dam Health Center backbreaker play of the game. Shamokin Dam Health Center and Workplace Injury Institute, offering medical care, chiropractic care, rehabilitation, and more. Call 570-743-4333 for an appointment. Quick update from Beaver Stadium and the Whiteout air at the half. Penn State 10, Iowa nothing. You can catch that game on Eagle 107 and Eagle107.com in just a few seconds when you flip over.
Right now, because they're done.
Well, no, they were on 94KX tonight.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because of the Phillies and the Eagles on Eagle 107.
Well, okay.
But you and I are going to wrap up here shortly so that we can catch the Whiteout with Steve and Jack on Eagle 107. Chief, your final thoughts as we get ready for Shamokin 1 week from tonight. Less than a week from tonight here at Shikellamy Stadium.
Well, you've played two excellent football teams that have a lot of veterans playing out there and a lot of skilled people, and then 1 week within, 6 days of each other between Jersey Shore and Seals. Now you're going to play Shamokin, which also has a freshman quarterback, and they've got some younger kids playing. But, you know, I think that Mark Persing's doing a good job out there, and they've got a couple of wins, so Braves need to get one. So they're going to have them home here next Friday.
And they definitely got a good win last night, so they're going to have a lot of momentum coming in here to Shikellamy Stadium coming up on Friday night.
You know, the whole key to the Braves is the offensive line's got to make some holes.
Absolutely.
And, you got to get your running game going so that when Brody does go to pass, that it's not very obvious, and they're not going to bring the entire house. All right, so yep. All right.
Well, that'll do it for tonight. Once again, our final score, it was Seelenstrom 54, Shikellamy 14. Braves will next be in action here at Shikellamy Stadium on Friday night against the Shamokin Indians. Pre-game show starts at 6:30. Kickoff on the WKOK Sports YouTube channel will get underway Friday night at 7. For the Chief, Dave Ritchie, and our studio producer, Caleb Long, I'm Kevin Herr. Thanks for joining us on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This has been a WKOK Sports presentation.
You've been listening to Shikellamy Braves football on WKOK and WKOK.com.